This episode is sponsored in part by the Pastor Theologians Conference. Each October, the Center for Pastor Theologians hosts a one-of-a-kind interdenominational gathering of pastors and ministry leaders from across the U.S., exploring some of the most pressing issues facing the church in today's complex world. This year's conference is called Good Shepherds: Pastoral Identity and the Future of the Church. In our contemporary context, the pastorate can often be shaped by visions of leadership that sometimes overemphasize method and technique. We can find this, of course, in church growth strategies, in business-based leadership models, and in social media influencer culture. It's easy when navigating all the details to lose the plot, but October 20th to 22nd, you're invited to Chicago to renew your vision and commitment to following the way of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherds Conference will bring together a diverse group of pastors and ministry leaders to reflect together on how we can model pastoral ministry as under-shepherds of Jesus of Nazareth. Speakers include Kate Sonderegger, Matt O'Reilly, Doug Sweeney, Amy Peeler, and many more. Learn more and register at cptconference.com. That's cptconference.com.
Well, St. Dominic and Dominican tradition subsequently has just proclaimed that the created world is a good thing. The things of this world are created by God and therefore man's use and is good. And so a lot of how we view the world should be shot through with that idea.
The Living Church, serving the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Communion since 1878. Welcome to the Living Church Podcast.
Ought to be a good tree.
Welcome back, podcast listeners. Today, we are happy to do something we've never done before. We're going to share an episode from another podcast. This is the Signal award-winning podcast, No Small Endeavor. If you've not heard of it before, it's produced by PRX and Great Feeling Studios, and No Small Endeavor explores what it means to live a good life. They host guests that some of you might recognize, like Tish Harrison Warren, Stanley Hauerwas, or civil rights hero, the Reverend James Lawson. Also, other incredible guests like Rainn Wilson of Dwight Schrute fame, Miroslav Volf, and Sheryl Crow. In today's episode, you're going to hear from the Hillbilly Thomists. Yes, you heard me right. This billboard-charting bluegrass band is made up entirely of Catholic Dominican friars. They talk with podcast host Lee Camp about their theology and vocation, as well as how they manage life on the road as priests who've taken a vow of poverty. Plus, they're going to give live performances of some of their finest songs. I enjoyed this episode one day taking a long walk along the Atlanta Beltline, and I know that you will enjoy this episode too. Before we dive into the episode, why not go ahead and follow No Small Endeavor on your favorite podcast app? It's one well worth adding. Now, get ready for a unique conversation that combines three things this group of preaching monks love talking and singing about: bluegrass, bourbon, and the Bible. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Salve, Regina.
Hello, friends. I'm Lacey Camp, and this is No Small Endeavor, exploring what it means to live a good life. The Order of Preachers is a religious order of the Catholic Church. Commonly, they're known as Dominicans, named after their founder, St. Dominic. They tend to be highly intellectual, with loads of writers, philosophers, and teachers in the lot. The group of six singing here is comprised of members from Georgia, Tennessee, and elsewhere, but being informed by the American South, their love for God is expressed not only in ancient Latin chant, but also like this.
Bourbon, bluegrass, and the Bible.
They go by the name the Hillbilly Thomists, a name taken from the Catholic Southern Gothic writer Flannery O'Connor, which we'll hear more about later. We caught up with the friars on tour as they came through Nashville and gathered with them at the Soul Train Sound Studio, which is a classic studio here in Nashville where The Circle Will Be Unbroken was recorded. It was a delightful morning talking theology and bluegrass, what life is like on the road as occasionally touring musicians, and the deep religious roots of their contemporary songs. It was no typical recording session and had its own unique aspects, like the fact that our time together begins with a prayer led by Father Thomas Joseph White, the first American rector of the university known as the Angelicum in Rome.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks to be in this great studio with these wonderful, kind people, in this place where the circle will be unbroken was recorded, and in the spirit of that, we ask you to bless us and bless our time together and give us grace and inspiration that the circle may be unbroken and that we may continue in that beautiful heritage of American folk music together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Thanks, White.
Lots a little bit of sunshine, it's a little bit of cold rain, it's a little bit of red wine, it's a little bit of heartbreak, it's a veil of tears, and I'm bound by death to my very last breath. And it ain't no joke, though I don't lose hope. No need to be traumatized, you can just get baptized. No need for revival, just read the Bible. No need for secession, just go to confession. If you happen to sin, you can live again. That's the power and the glory of the one true story. Every second, every hour, from the start of the day to the end of time. It's the saints my soul when I'm well and alive, or sick in bed, for good and bad. I'll be fine. In the palm of his hand. That's the real distinction and participated being in the power of intinction. If you know what that means, I make my stand in the Holy Land. So don't get lost at any old cause. Don't take no byway, just stay on that highway. Just keep moving forward in the spirit of the Lord.
Down the line. That's
The Hillbilly Thomas, welcome to Nashville.
Glad Thank you.
Yeah, it's delightful to have you guys with us here.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to be here.
It's an honor.
So Hillbilly Thomists, a band of friars of the Order of Preachers. Dominicans, street name, I guess. Is Order of Preachers or Dominicans the street name for you guys?
Dominican street name, yeah. But people on the street call us all kinds of names, too. One time in New York City, there was a... I guess this was Father Peter's story. I'm stealing from him, but... People were whispering, and they said we were called nuns. You know, we could call you, but we're Dominicans' nickname, but officially the Order of Preachers.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So the do you call your garb a habit?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Which I guess got you the nuns moniker.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So well, it's delightful to have a group of friars here with us here in Nashville in the studio, and grateful to have you guys with us. This is your first tour, I understand.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The old highway tour.
So what's that been like for you so far?
Well, it's been intense. You know, we're kind of we take a vow of poverty, so we are doing this on the, you know, inexpensive side. We're raising some money for our order for formation, and we're also, you know, getting the music better known. So we've been driving a van across the United States, saying prayers together in the van, unloading at different venues, setting up, learning a lot about sound checks, and playing for like very enthusiastic crowds. We've had great experiences in Chicago, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Washington, D.C., and some other venues. And it's just been an honor. We played the Grand Ole Opry last night as an opening act, and that was just obviously for us, you know, beautiful symbol, and we really enjoyed it.
Yes. Well, I tell you, before I saw what you had on your website, I listened to the first track I listened to you guys. I thought, this is like Flannery O'Connor. There's something about Flannery O'Connor here. And then I read what you said on your website about your name. So somebody want to share with kind of where you get your name and...
Sure. So Flannery O'Connor, of course, the great Georgian Southern author, 20th century. And she wrote a bunch of short stories, which are kind of strange and sometimes difficult, but beautiful in their own way. She says in one of her letters that everyone who's read her novel, her first novel, Wise Blood, she said, everyone who's read Wise Blood thinks I'm a hillbilly nihilist, but actually I'm a hillbilly Thomist. So a Thomist is someone who follows the thought, the teaching, theological teaching of St. Thomas Aquinas, who was a Dominican as well many centuries ago. But his theological patrimony lives on in a strong way to today. And so the combination of the style of music we're playing and our Thomistic theological heritage, it seemed like a perfect name for our group. And Flannery O'Connor does inspire a lot of our lyrics. Yeah. So there's references to her literature scattered throughout our songs.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that reading through the lyrics of a lot of your songs and listening to your songs the last couple of days, you have this strong strand of grace, sin, and the sacraments that kind of seem to run through all of it. And I think one of the things that I appreciate so much about that is that, one, you show the ways in which sin is both mundane and destructive, and grace is real, and the sacraments are kind of this sort of earthiness, I guess, to the sacraments, and are a kind of real-to-life nature of the sacraments. But I don't know, any commentary from any of you on how that kind of works through your music?
Well, it's funny that, you know, because Flannery O'Connor said she was trying to write stories to show people how grace could work through the physical world. And she did get that from Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas emphasizes how we're rational, spiritual animals, but we're animals. And so we need to, you know, signs of God's compassion and mercy, and that God's friendship with us is expressed through symbols and through corporate worship and through the sacraments. So, you know, it shows up in our song some, and in that last song we just did. And, you know, we, like Flannery O'Connor, we combine it also with a little bit of humor about our human condition and a sense of the kind of celebration and joy of life too, which is also present in American folk music and bluegrass music.
Yeah. This next song, Good Tree, somebody want to introduce that one for us?
Well, Father Justin's the one that wrote it. It seems right and just. Yeah. He would explain to us what he's done.
That's a song about a tree.
it's not a bad tree.
what kind of tree is it?
Funny you should ask.
We were recording. Our main percussionist is not with us. He said he delighted in our studio. We record up in the Catskills Mountains in New York State, and he said to Father Justin Rhoda after he said it's all of Scripture, all the tree imagery and seed imagery, and he was impressed by you, Father Justin, our own.
Well, it's nice to impress the brethren.
Happens rarely.
This is an original song. It's called Good Tree.
Good Tree.
can't gather grapes from a bramble bush, or pick a fig from thorns. What I like to be, oh, to be a good tree. Some fall in the rocks on the beaten path, some sink into rich soil, and from a tiny seed grows a good tree. Like a cedar high, mustard wide, where all of the birds of the air can't hide, find rest inside. Oh, good tree. The beetle bites, the black rat strikes, weevil eats from the inside. You'll have your enemies, oh, if you're a good tree.
I'm gonna, you tune down, I'm gonna tune up.
There you go. That's very funny.
Clad in their white tunics and rosaries, they have in the studio a banjo, dobro, fiddle, mandolin, dulcimer, bass, some guitars, and a Wurlitzer. They play American folk, bluegrass, and mountain music, and before the break, they just shared their song, Good Tree.
And from a tiny seed grows a good tree. Cedar high, mustard wide.
It's a song full of literary allusions to botanical imagery found in the Bible. the pruning required for health, or the weevil, beetle, and black rot of destruction, or the resolute stability of a good tree. Beautiful. As I was listening to that song again just now, I was reminded of I think Thomas Merton tells a story in Seven Story Mountain where he was, I don't think he had converted yet. He was talking to a friend who asked him what he wanted to do with his life. And he said, I want to be a good writer. And then he asked his friend, so what do you think I should do? And he said, you ought to do what every human being ought to do, is to try to be a saint. The pursuit of goodness. And I just love that beautiful pursuit of goodness, which leads me to wonder, I would imagine some folks wonder, how does one come to be a Dominican, to be a religious, to take the vows that you've taken? What were some of the routes that brought you to your vocation?
Sure. Well, it's hard. It's a mystery. It's a gift of a seed that God just plants in your heart, and that he has a plan for you, and you grow into that. And in some ways, it's sort of ineffable, awesome gift that you realize. But then that takes shape, of course, in mundane realities. Like myself and my brother over there, Father Simon, we grew up serving Mass at St. Gertrude's Parish in Cincinnati, which was staffed by Dominican friars. So eventually when I, after college and working for a couple of years, I started thinking of the priesthood as something I might actually want to do instead of being afraid that it might happen to me. I thought of the good priests that I knew, and they were all Dominicans. So that's the first place and ultimately the only place I looked.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can think about vocations, becoming a priest as something that's like an obligation that is placed on you, like God chooses you and it's something you might not want to do. But I think in my experience and in a lot of our experiences, and I think in reality, it's that God plants a desire. It's like something you want to do. Like you were talking about the pursuit of the good, that God guides people to see, the beauty of religious life, of consecrating your whole self, your whole life to him, and of serving him as a priest of Jesus Christ, as something that is, you're able to see the beauty and goodness, the way that is just a great life.
So what some experience as painfully restrictive, these friars experienced as joyous, mundane and even difficult at times for sure, yet rapturous at others. Their vows include vows of poverty and obedience, and also the vow of chastity, which is a lifelong commitment to celibacy. Father Timothy on this vow of chastity.
That's the question we get most all of our lives. Is you're a priest, it means you can't get married? Everybody. It's like, we start here every time, but I always push that. I turn that around and say, well, you desire to get married. So, oh, yeah. I say, well, why? And it's like, where does that come from? If God can give from earliest ages this desire for marriage, he can give other desires to the heart, like seek God alone in community. So it's really a matter of what God can do with the heart that he made.
Here in the room, as I've mentioned, the friars were dressed in white tunics with rosaries hanging down at their sides. The word monk might come to mind to many, but they're not monks.
So like monasteries are composed of people like Benedictines and Cistercians who kind of take a promise of stability. They stay in one monastic house for life, typically. They can transfer, but it's not normal, as where we don't have that. So we have a system of order called priories, and we move about and we can go out. And it's because our order is for preaching, communication, ministering to people, serving people. We pray in a monastic way, but we also have that mobility and that freedom to go out and engage with others. And so that's part of what it is to be a friar.
I would just add from our Dominican life, we have a word which is worth defining, itinerancy. It sounds like a Southern word, doesn't it, in a way?
Itinerancy.
Itinerancy. And it means that unlike...
itinerancy. We all itinerancy.
That's right. Everyone itinerancies. And unlike, most priests, diocesan priests that belong to a region or a city, and monks stay in their monastery, but we really have this itinerant meaning, moving about, and we'll only spend 4 or 5 years one place and be moved to another place. And I think that there's similarity to a tour. I mean, this is our first tour. We've never gone city to city, night to night. But that is both at once a hardship and a great beauty of our life. And that is an aspect which is pretty distinctive to us. I think because we moved around places, the questions deepen, because we don't just serve the church in Nashville, the church in Chicago, the church in New York. I think there's this great mutual sort of informing going on as we ask questions of the modern age, living in many modern cities, fulfilling various roles. I think it's for us in the end. That's part of our charism.
So as itinerant preachers. All of these fellow bandmates do not live in the same place. Father Thomas Joseph White, for example, lives in Rome. He's the first American ever appointed to his position, analogous to a university president.
I'm at the university that our order runs for the Catholic Church in Rome called the Angelicum. So I'm a professor there and I'm rector of the university. And we work to educate 1,000 students from about 100 different nationalities who are studying for higher degrees in the Roman system.
What's it been like for a boy raised in Georgia to find himself in Rome?
Definitely a culture shock to be placed in a position of responsibility in a Roman institution. And it's true that the Italians don't have a great deal of exposure to bluegrass music, to folk Americana music. So when I play the banjo in my office, the cleaning staff and the secretaries think that that's very eccentric.
Though your exile in Rome has produced some of the best songs that you've written.
So
perhaps
there,
out
please.
Of pining for... you know,
American
Kentucky
shores.
And Georgia and Tennessee. Yeah.
You know, one of your songs does start, I want to go home.
Tell us about this next song, A Bourbon Bluegrass in the Bible.
Father Thomas Joseph, you know, this is the origin. He wrote this song.
Well, I wrote this during COVID. I was locked in a 500-year-old building in Italy for 10 weeks because they put the martial law down during COVID over there. And so I had this sort of phantasmagoric Flannery O'Connor homage song in my mind, and I wrote it down. And, you know, so that's how this ended up happening.
So here are the Hillbilly Thomists with their song Bourbon, Bluegrass in the Bible, off their album Holy Ghost Power, written by a Dominican friar from Georgia while on assignment as university president in Rome.
Lived through time, passed through fire, broke my heart, wounded desire, changed my life, fixed the past. I stared at death and it stared back, standing fast in the light of the word. A shotgun blast was the last thing I heard. I rattled in the wind like a window pane. My soul's all right, but my body complains. Yes, in the world and it's gone viral. Everybody's talking about a new revival when it's a question of love and survival. Bourbon, bluegrass, and the Bible. Like a giant, watch the rain, muster your force and feel no pain. There's music at night, music in the day, you live your life without getting paid. You're a child of the storm, child of the Lord, you live your life without getting bored. You lose your mind, but you find it again, talking about grace and talking about sin. Death's in the world and it's gone viral, everybody's talking about a new revival. But when it's a question of love, survival, bourbon, bluegrass, and the Bible. Preacher don't lie, there's whiskey in the still. The fox in the rain done had his fill. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Play that song wherever I go. People on the left, people on the right, that don't need. Everybody's out in their disguise. The light in the morning just hurts my eyes. Death's in the world and it's gone viral. Everybody's talking about a new revival. When it's a question of love and survival. Bourbon, bluegrass, and the Bible. Pretty good. Sit up straight and clean your face. We done gotta get out of this place. Uncle Pen is loading his gun. You start to walk, I'll start to run. Lifting my thumb by the side of the road. I'll take my banjo wherever I go. This in the world and it's gone viral. Everybody's talking about a new revival. But when it's a question of love and survival, bourbon, bluegrass, and the Bible. Baptized at 105.
alive, not a life well lived, but a life well died. At the funeral we all sang, Mama tried. Half of us laughed and half of us cried. Redneck town, two dogs in a sack. You burn it all down and it all goes back. Stars in the night, they light, don't lie. I'll see you up there when they fall from the sky. This in the world and it's gone viral. Everybody's talking about a new revival. But when it's a question of love and survival, bourbon, bluegrass, and the Bible.
That was the Hillbilly Thomists, a band comprised of Catholic Dominican friars, with their song Bourbon, Bluegrass, and the Bible, recorded at the Soul Train Sound Studio in Nashville, Tennessee.
Bourbon, Bluegrass, and the Bible. So Thomas, Father Thomas Joseph, I mean, I don't hear that bourbon, bluegrass, and the Bible as ironic.
No, no. No, it's a survivor song. But, you know, I mean, look, I mean, we want to emphasize humanity, right? Yeah. I mean, but, you know, look, it's also about a kind of poetry, I'd say a not very culturally elevated poetry of my own about growing up in Southeast Georgia and thinking about Flannery O'Connor's ideas of grace working through the midst of hard times.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Another thing that occurred to me listening to the song is the sort of tension there is between some Southern Protestantisms, like one of which I was raised in, strong, teetotaling, certain moralistic commitments. And then in the Dominican tradition, I mean, you know, my recollection from grad school is that Thomas loved food and drink and a lot of it. And certainly in the Catholic tradition, you have a much more sort of easy way with food and drink and the gifts of which that your tradition, I think, frames as kind of forms of grace.
Well, I mean, the key thing...
Talk a little bit about that tension there.
The key idea is temperance is a mean between extremes. So,
right.
You know, Pascal says, the man who drinks no wine and the man who drinks too much, neither will find the truth.
Mm.
And so, you know...
Say that one more time. I didn't know that line from Pascal.
Yeah, Pascal says, the man who drinks too little wine and the man who drinks too much wine, neither will find the truth. Mm. And the idea is that, you know, partly we have to have the... Our humanity, our body cooperates in the way we find the truth, in the way we relate to one another, and good conversations happen around wine. You know, we even obviously use wine in the Eucharist to denote celebration and joy as a symbol. Aquinas says joy, wine is a symbol of the utmost joy of life, of communion with God. But, I think it's just part of our tradition to think that we can demystify a little bit the idea that we're angelic.
Mm.
We're not angels. We're animals, but we are spiritual animals. Mm. And how do we spiritualize our animality? And we do it, you know, moderately,
yeah,
reasonably. But that also means taking, you know, Aquinas has a great line where he says, what do you do when you have deep sadness? You know, obviously I'm now seeming kind of melancholic, but what do you do when you have deep sadness? He says, well, you can read a good book, you can take a hot bath, you can talk to a great friend. He doesn't give super spiritual advice in those, but he's talking about how you kind of recuperate your human self to kind of then recharge and go back toward God.
We're going to take a short break, but coming right up, what Dominican friars do for their so-called day jobs, simple advice for living a good life, and of course, yet a few more delightful Hillbilly Thomist songs.
Hey everybody, I'd love to tell you about our next Living Church conference that you don't want to miss. It's in St. Louis in November, and it's called Awe and Presence, a conference on worship and the arts. What do worship, going to church, or the beauty of the Christian liturgy have to do with real life? You can explore with us through art, literature, music, and history how sacraments and sacred rhythms usher us into the awe and presence of the one who is good, true, and beautiful, and forms our lives to His. Speakers include Malcolm Geit, W. David O. Taylor, Abram Van Engen, Grace Hammond, and Matthew Ulver on poetry, prayer, the body in worship, what it means to worship with the church of the past, and understanding the story we're in. Go to livingchurch.org/events for more info and to register, or click the link in the show notes today. And if you register now, you can get a 15% off early bird special. That's livingchurch.org/events, or click the link in the show notes.
My name is Father Timothy. 50 out of 52 weeks of the year, I am at Dartmouth College. I'm the chaplain to the Catholic Center at Dartmouth up in New Hampshire.
And playing a little percussion and drums
today. I'm playing percussion today.
I'm Father Simon. I was ordained a year ago, and so up until May, I was still in school studying theology. And then now in August, I'll begin working at Providence College in Rhode Island, working as an associate chaplain and in the campus ministry.
So I'm Father Peter. I have been in Providence College for the past 3 years. Father Simon is replacing me, actually, as associate chaplain there. So I've been there for 3 years, and I'm moving next month to Rome to start doctoral studies. So, So Father Simon plays the fiddle and sings and plays a little guitar, and I play mandolin, guitar, and keys mostly.
Excellent.
So. My name is Father Justin Bolger. I play guitar, bass, sing. I'm the chaplain at Providence College, so call myself the top chap. And Father Simon answers to me. So I'm chaplain, director of campus ministry there.
And you've had a little bit of history in the music business as well.
Yeah,
here in Nashville and elsewhere.
Yeah, I lived here for almost 4 years, and my sister and I had a band. We played together, we recorded together, played at a couple studios around here. We were signed to RCA, Victor, and got to tour the country, lived here, LA. We're originally from the Maryland area.
Very good.
I'm Father Jonah. I work for an organization called the Thomistic Institute that promotes the Catholic and Western intellectual tradition, particularly on college campuses. So my main job is I run a lot of retreats for college students. Wow. So I ran about 12 this last school year.
Oh, wow.
I play guitar.
Thomas Joseph White. I play the banjo, the resonator, and the dulcimer. And I teach theology at the Angelicum, our university in Rome, and I'm the rector at that university.
Before they play us their next song entitled Veronica, a little backstory from Catholic tradition. Saint Veronica is said to have seen Jesus carrying the cross on the way to his crucifixion. Moved by compassion, Veronica went to Jesus, covered with blood and sweat and tears, and with her veil wiped his brow, leaving, as the tradition has it, the image of Jesus' face on the veil. The veil then became a highly cherished relic of the Catholic Church, with the story remembered devotionally in the Catholic tradition as the sixth station of the cross. Why don't you take us into this next song, Veronica?
Am I not a convict? King's opposing, wearing the mask of a jester, cool like a lawyer. It's an old condition, I bear a few wounds and enough protection to keep them out of view. Oh, the masks I wear, do they come between you and me? Veronica, Veronica, bearer of the image, true, true, the I wanna bear it too. Veronica, every day I pray, I will see him face to face. See the man of sorrows, of the morning commune, like a king dispossessed, sleeping on a stony stool. Some of us just drive by, some say a prayer, some show out a dollar just to show they care. Oh, the masks I wear, do they come they come between you and me.
This is the Hillbilly Thomists, a group of Dominican friars who play bluegrass and American folk music with their song Veronica. The Thomists in their name, Hillbilly Thomists, is a reference to St. Thomas Aquinas. Aquinas himself was one of the most famous of Dominicans, so a Thomist is a devotee of Thomas Aquinas. Aquinas is revered as one of the brightest of medieval minds, a philosopher who sought to hold together faith and reason. He also famously contributed to the recovery of Aristotle's work. Aquinas employed Aristotle's philosophy to describe human life as a quest for living an authentically good life. So having already heard songs about bourbon, RC Cola, and moon pies, I asked him to share a bit of wisdom simply on living a good life.
I think part of it is just a conviction that the world itself is good, that creation is a good thing. This is a really core conviction for St. Dominic, and it's been passed on to all Dominican friars, because this was a real question at St. Dominic's time. 800 years ago, there was a particular sect of people who were preaching that the created world, the material reality, was just evil and bad, and you had to seek to escape from it. And so St. Dominic and Dominican tradition subsequently has just proclaimed that the created world is a good thing. The things of this world are created by God, and they're for man's use and his good. And so a lot of how we view the world should be shot through with that idea.
Yeah, and I think especially the highest goods of the created world are being like other people, and that friendship being an incredibly important path towards happiness and towards God, that, you know, we move towards God not alone, but in a community alongside our brothers and sisters, but also that we discover joy and happiness and truth, and also the Lord within our brothers and sisters and in our friends and in those relationships.
Well, it's been a delight having you all with us here today, and we're really grateful for your time and your music, and not only your music, but your work in the world, sharing all of that with us today. So thanks so much.
And a joy to be here. Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, it's been great to be with you. Take us out with your last song.
Since Elvis died, Nixon lied, we've been living on Kentucky Fried. Man on the moon's got nothing on us, cause the band drove the Houston and old school bus, where we played too loud, knocked down the door, breaking stuff up what we came here for. Mama don't like it, don't understand, but you tell her that's a full time band. I got my boss picking my mind in California. Shining bright, the Lord had mercy, and I didn't even think. I got absolution, cause it works that way. And we all went to dinner, got the aid to pay. I got five hoes speaking my mind in California. The old beard, he stares at the sky, looks pretty weird, but she broke his heart, he nearly lost his mind, drinking that old brown turpentine. Yeah, he went to the left and he went to the right, he heard the preacher man talking and he saw the light. Now he talks to God while he's chewing gum, that's where we took all the lyrics from.
hand in the socket. Now his hair's too long, but he just keeps rocking. He left the sticks and he moved to the city, where he got into fights. It wasn't too pretty. Yeah, he lost 3 teeth on Bourbon Street, but he knew it was wrong, so he put it in a song. If it ends like this, with confession and a kiss, when the record comes out, it'll all be bliss. On Judgment Day, there'll be a barbecue and an angel band, the mother of God and the son of man. Now, we've been free since the day he died, so we're cutting all ties with the Prince of Lies. Face the music, preach the truth, that's what we came here to do. I got pine balls sticking my mind.
Thanks for tuning in to the Living Church Podcast, a ministry of the Living Church. I sure hope you enjoyed this episode. For more thoughtful conversations like this, follow No Small Endeavor on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. In 2 weeks, I'll sit down with the new director of the Anglican Center in Rome, Bishop Anthony Ball, to talk about Anglicans in the Eternal City, Christian Witness in 2025, and what he likes so far about working with Pope Leo. Until then, our producer is Leslie Thompson. I'm Amber Noel, your host, and it's been good to be with you. Peace.